This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sees me through when you're good to mama. Mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you because you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I communities, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, and most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. You should all know that off by heart by now, I reckon. So tonight, we're going a little bit light-hearted, kind of, sort of, maybe a bit of an education. I've got two guests that are two members of two GLBT&I sporting clubs, but there's a little bit of a twist. One is straight and one is gay, and they're both allies. And we're going to actually ask the question, does it really matter? So I'd like to welcome Anthony from Motor Friends Car Club.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. And Ben from Melbourne Argonauts Queer Rowing Club.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. So thank you for joining me. So very quick question. Somebody actually asked me earlier this evening and they said, this is probably more for you, Anthony, it being a motoring club, is motoring a sport?
Well, it can be a sport. You have the, obviously, Formula One and other racing type events. Mm. There's also rally events, like, where you have, there's a mother and daughter car rally team that
really?
Are now one of the top in the world for car rallying. And, it is considered a sport.
Yeah, so I would not have considered it a sport.
Amongst the Melbourne community, though, and Motor Friends, we're not participating in the sporting side of motoring. We're on the social side and four-wheel driving, etc. So we're part of the recreational groups.
Yeah, so you're representing Motor Friends tonight in the studio.
Yes.
And Ben, please don't ask me to go to any of your Learn to Row sessions because I will fail terribly. But
by the end of this interview,
no.
I will have you signed up.
Oh, have you seen these flabs? They're not abs, they're flabs. So tell us a little bit about the Argonauts.
The Argonauts. We've been around now for 12 years.
Wow.
We celebrated our 10th birthday a couple of years ago. Started off with five GLBTI people who were in the rowing community. Decided they wanted to create a club for the GLBTI community. And that's exactly what they did. Mm. And we've basically gone from strength to strength. So from those five people, we now have an active membership of about 65, I think it is at the moment. And then on top of that, we call them Fargonauts, which are friends of the Argonauts.
I was going to say.
And actually, I've lost count on how many we have of those. They're a mixture of ex-members and just people who Not necessarily in it for the rowing, but just want to support us in
like
in
the family and friends.
It's family and friends. Yeah, family and friends. A few ex-members, just a way of keeping them still involved in the club. If it's just coming down to barrack for us when we're down at the river or on one of the lakes around Victoria.
Mm. And with Motor Friends, Anthony, how long have you been around?
Longer than that, I think. Yeah, I think it's now about our 23rd year that we've been in existence. And it started with a couple of guys that wanted to create a club for members of the GLBTI community. However, over the years, that demographic certainly changed.
Yeah. There was something that we mentioned, you and I were chatting about before, that I was about car clubs. A little bit different with Motor Friends is that car clubs quite often are model-specific or brand-specific, whatever you call it. But with Motor Friends, it's not like that. And why?
Well, because we're catering for a community, not a particular type of car. So being non-mark-specific, we can have... if you talk about the Australian cars, the Holden or the Ford, but then not just Mercedes or MG or Peugeot or Saab or any of the other makes. So it's inclusive for all people. Yeah. And I think that's what attracts people to our group, because you don't want to just have the one car. And some of our members certainly don't have one car or one mark of a car.
And the word inclusion, I suppose that's probably the theme perhaps for me with the show tonight is to discuss inclusion and why and how it happens and all of that kind of stuff. So it was just a little bit of the history of the club. So, and you compete regularly at all? You do, I know.
The Argonauts, yeah. I mean, we compete. Actually, I was going to count them up before I left and forgot, but it must be close to 15, 20 regattas a year. We compete at Ride Across Victoria. Wow. We also compete at the Out Games. So we had some people down in Copenhagen last year for the... not Copenhagen, what am I talking about? In Belgium. For the Out Games. We're competitive, but we're also one of the things that the founders of the club wanted to make sure was that the club was inclusive, to take that word again. Mm. So although competition is part of the club, we are there to promote rowing as much as anything else, rowing in the queer community. So we encourage people, the club is set up so that we can cater for both people who want to compete and those who just want to row. We call it for fun and fitness or socially.
I don't know how rowing is fun, really. Honestly, no.
Would you say that about any sport?
Yes,
that's the question.
Probably true.
I know. I went along to one of the Argonauts come and learn to row days or something like that, and
splash
I had a lot of fun.
Giggle.
Splash and giggle. There you go.
That's good.
And it was a lot
wonderful
of fun.
Wonderful piece of branding, though.
And they're a good group to get involved with. So,
yeah. And we'll be there. Usually, we hold it as part of Midsummer, the Team Melbourne Sports Day, I think they call it. It's been rebranded recently, so we're down there as part of that. So. Mm.
You mentioned the Out Games. Now, this might seem like a naive question. So if you're competing at the Out Games, do all the participants have to be gay?
No.
No?
No. In fact, when the Asia Pacific Out Games was on in Melbourne a couple of years ago, I was actually, both myself and my wife competed.
Wow.
There was a number of straight members at that point and we all competed. And yes, as far as I'm aware, unless they've changed the rules in the last couple of years, no, it's open. You don't have to be gay. I'd be interested to know how they would test for that if it came to it. But
I'm sure someone would devise
a
test.
I'm sure, hold and cough. I'm not sure.
He's the comedian in the room, exactly. I'm going to say, prediction. So did you get any flack from anybody that did that? Did anyone ever sort of say, this is not a place for you? Or did you ever hear anything? No?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I've been with the Argonauts now since 2005, so 9 years. I'm coming up to an anniversary. And never once has it ever been an issue that I'm a straight man who is allied to the queer community or the GLBTI community. It's never been an issue.
So what do you think makes an inclusive environment in both of your clubs?
I think for people to be there for the purpose of the club, not not regardless of your gender, your sexuality, your race, religion, etc. Like, we're there for motor friends. We're there for our cars and enjoying our days out in our cars and the activities that we do with the cars. And that's what we're all about. We don't want to put a label on someone. We want people to be able to enjoy their day out and enjoy the activities that they can be involved with and feel very comfortable with and have a lot of fun. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fun is the preamble to our constitution. I mean, fun is mentioned there, I think, 3-4 times. Yeah, the Argonauts, as far as inclusivity goes, it's about enjoying the sport of rowing, the sport that we all love. That's why we're members, and that's why we do it. As I say, whether it's for competition or just to stay fit, or just so that you are part of a group of like-minded people.
So, speaking of fun, there was when I was researching, there were some interesting names that you came up with for some of your
before
do you call
my
them boats?
Time.
Boats? Is that literally what you call them? I don't know.
Yeah. Rowing the boats, rowing boats. Yeah. Rowing boats, rowing shells. Yeah. Yes, the names which were considered and then quickly went, but our boats, you know, we name our boats the stories behind them. Montreal came out of the fact that we were that boat was bought just after we got back from Montreal for the Out Games. Several years ago now. You've got the Catherine Mansfield
and my favourite.
Oh, the Anastasia Beaverhausen.
Yeah, from Will and Grace.
Yes, well, that's partly my fault, I think. And I will name check Stuart as well, who officially named the boat. I was captain of the boats at the point, and captain looks after the equipment. That's the role and the logistics of the club. And we were going to buy a new boat, and we decided you give your project a name,
yes,
you know, because so we called it the Project Beaverhausen just because it was Will and Grace at the time, yeah. And da da da. And unfortunately, it stuck, and
no,
it stuck
great.
Past the point. And now you can imagine the screams as the beaver goes past on in any race. Yes.
You can't let go of that.
No,
you can't. We're going to take a short break and have a song, then come back and chat some more to Ben and Anthony. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Okay, Sammy, are you ready? Let's go.
Proudly pushing the buttons of my favourite straight woman every week on Joy 94.9 on Stand Up Straight.
You are listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight with Ben and Anthony, and a lovely little ID from my new bestie, Sammy. Thank you, Sammy. Just before we went to a song and a quick break, we were talking about names of boats and things. So, Anthony, do people name cars? I've heard people name their cars, but do they really?
Of course they name their cars. You've got to love naming your car.
It's part
of your personality.
Is it? So does the car reflect the person, do you think?
Most certainly.
Yeah?
Most certainly. And people will name their cars. Actually, a lot of guys use girls' names for their cars, and a lot of girls seem to use boys' names for their cars.
Really?
I don't know. Sammy's got something.
Maybe it's because I'm a lesbian, but I've always, I love women. So maybe that's why most of the boys do it. No, I have Narelle the Nissan.
Narelle the Nissan,
yes.
Nice.
Always had girls' names. Anyway, I'm sure.
And a lot of them are rhyming.
Thank you. And what...
A lot of them are rhyming, so Narelle the Nissan. Rhonda the Honda and all that.
Rhonda the Honda.
So you've got all of those, and you'll get ones like that. But, yeah, of course. Do you name your car?
Oh, well, no, I don't. And if you'd asked me years ago about cars, I don't have any interest in cars, but I have, I suppose I hadn't intended on discussing this, but I've got a... Don't judge me, but I've got a convertible. So I had never, ever, ever enjoyed driving. You know how you hear people say, I love driving my car. Well, I didn't understand it until I've got this car, and my husband will hate this because it's actually his, but I claim it to be my car now. So summer, roof off, sitting down low, driving, it is actually fun. Mm-hmm. And I never understood that.
Connie the convertible.
There you go.
Go for a ride in Connie.
Go for a ride in Connie.
And, you know, you'll love your drive more.
You reckon?
And you'll chat with your car and you will have more fun.
Well, there you go.
And if she lets you down, you can kick the tire.
Curse her name.
Yeah.
Curse the name of Connie.
Curse the name of Connie. Yeah. So thought we might have a little bit of a delve into what sort of the psyche of the clubs are. And I know that's a heavy kind of word, but what issues you may have had if you've got, I know I don't like saying the word straight to refer to people, but in this particular context we will. So whether you've had any conflicts within your clubs, whether anybody didn't want a straight member of your club, whether is there a them and us, or is it just my sense is that it's all a sense of team, but just wondering what that sort of scenario has been like in your clubs.
Well, I think initially with Motor Friends, the straight members that have joined our club have come along because they're friends of other members and they've got perhaps a common interest. So they've come into the club and participated in the events, and obviously their friends are there. And, you know, like any sort of organisation, friends of friends, it's all sort of one big happy family.
Mm.
So that's a good thing for Motor Friends. But recently we've seen even more straight members attracted to our club because of the way we're set up.
Mm. Yeah, and very similar for the Argonauts. I mean, in the early days, straight members were generally, again, friends of friends and friends of friends of friends, and people who'd been invited to come down for one of our open days or Splash and Giggles. And over time, I mean, we did actually have one lady, I think it was, who she went through our 4 week. So we have the Splash and Giggle, which is like the 1 hour come and try, and then we have the 4 week, learn to row.
Mm.
And she actually came along to the learn to row, did the full 4 weeks, and only towards the end of the 4 weeks did she actually realise what the fact we were a GLBTI club, and the fact that we had sparkly things up in the club room,
we're not quite a mirror ball, but
certainly we have some sparkle, some bling up in the club room. Somehow didn't give it away, but yeah. So and she actually stuck around. We've even had people who've come to us in particular because we have that atmosphere of, back to that word again, inclusivity. Mm. They've seen us at regattas and seen that we are a fun, social, as well as being competitive club. And they've been attracted to us. They've actually come to join us for that reason.
So if you had to sort of counsel, for want of a better word, anybody as to why, like if you had anybody that sort of thought, you know what, this is just a GLBTI club, I don't want any straight people around, or I don't want them in. So if you sort of had to counsel or that's the word I suppose I'm using, as to why it needs to be inclusive.
Certainly, from my point of view, I've never encountered that in the 9 years I've been with the club, and I've been on the organising committee, the actual governing committee of the club as well, and that's never been an issue. The constitution just refers to being GLBTI friendly.
Mm.
That's the kind of catch-all in our constitution. But as far as it ever being an issue within the club, no. I mean, we've had some issues in the early days, just ignorance, I suppose, in terms of my one experience of anyone from outside the club saying anything was actually from schoolboys. So although you wish for better,
how did that take shape?
We were on the start line of a race. I was actually in the boat. I was actually in one of the boats, and we were up against a couple of clubs, and one of our competitors was a schoolboy's crew, and I heard the coxswain say to his crew, "We've got to beat these puffs."
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, I mean,
so do you kind of en masse get all these people to sort of turn around and like, where the hell does that come from?
Yeah, pretty well. Certainly from the Argonauts boat, we did. But we took it up with the school afterwards. We had a quiet.
What did you say to them, if you can remember, or were you in a zone?
We didn't at the time, because when you're out in the start, when you're about to start a race, there's not the time or the
mindset.
Certainly you don't want to get you don't want to break the mindset. What we did do was have a word with the coach, the teacher, after the race, and it was dealt with. I mean, the coach was absolutely horrified that his boys would say that. And to be honest,
did they come up to you afterwards or anything? I can't actually remember.
Certainly, I remember the coach was apologetic. And the irony of they chose to say that the boat with the straight boy in it. But that is a very rare, in the hundreds of regattas that the Argonauts have taken care of, it's happened very, very, very rarely.
And does it surprise you that it's rare? Had you anticipated that perhaps you might, either of you, had anticipated that you might have had more flack or more anger or homophobia?
It's interesting, in the early days of Motor Friends participating in a lot of the car shows, like at the Flemington Racecourse, there's car shows that are held a couple of times a year. There's an American car show, which is a lot of muscle cars and things like that. The classic car showcase, which used to be the British and European car showcase. Motor Friends have a display, and those days are set up very mark specific, and like the other car clubs, where Motor Friends, we've got a whole lot of different cars on display. And at first we were sort of singled out as the gay club, and people, but it was amazing the number of people that would come and visit the stand because of the types of vehicles that we had. It was interesting and different.
Did they think that you're not taking it seriously? Or if you're gay, you can't love cars? And
exactly.
I don't know. It's cliche, I know. I don't mean it to sound flip, but yeah.
Until it got to a point where some of our members were winning the judges' awards because they had the most interesting of that particular style of car. So if it was a post-war car or classic or veteran car, they were winning the awards. And now people have started to realise we're there, we're part of the whole show, and we're not about to go away. No. And now they are including us really well and coming and visiting our stand. And
do they approach you because you're a different type of club, do you think? Do you think a bit of a novelty as well?
Sometimes there's a bit of curiosity there.
Yeah.
But then the ones that do get involved with our club are starting to enjoy the fact that the varied aspects. A lot of the other car clubs within the whole community, not the gay community but the straight community, their events are very specific, where our events, because we've got so many different types of cars, are very varied events. So whether it's a four-wheel drive day or a old classic car day or just a drive or pub lunch or things like that. So that's what attracts members to our club.
Yeah, when I joined the Argonauts, so I would have joined 3 or 4 years into its life. But from what I understand, I mean, the initial reaction was, why? Why do we need to set up another rowing club specifically for GLBTI? Certainly by the time I've joined and since, I would say that question's gone from people's minds. We're just another rowing club who happen to be GLBTI.
But do they ask you, though, Ben, why do you want to, obviously you've been asked.
Actually, funnily enough, it's not why, it's how. It's I think that says something about the maturity of the club now, in terms of people don't ask me why I'm a member of the Argonauts.
But did they used to?
They ask me, no. It's more about how. So they just accept that I happen to be a rower, who happens to row with the Melbourne Argonauts, who happen to be a GLBTI. So the question generally is more, how did you end up at the Argonauts?
Yeah, because, well, that's the question.
Well, my wife's best friend from university, and now one of my closest friends, in fact, he was my best man at my wedding. Our wedding, sorry. Got that right.
You'll be in trouble.
He was going to go along to the Argonauts Splash and Giggle, and he knew that I had rowed. And he said, well, do you want to come along? And I did. And next thing I knew, I was being... like the sailors of old, I was suddenly being press ganged into, and I was handing over my however much it was back then for the learn to row, because I hadn't rowed for years, so I did the learn to row, and the rest is history. It was the friend of a friend. Back to what Anthony was saying earlier.
Do you find, Ben, again, it's a question for you, I'm sorry, but do you get protective of your gay friends in the club, and then for you, Anthony, are you protective? So if there's people that think it's predominantly a gay motor club, then, and they're maybe having a go at the straight members, do you kind of get protective of each other's members?
Well, we want a safe and inclusive environment for all our members, and once again, we're there to protect the interests of the club and its members. So if ever there was any activity at an event, so at a big car show, if there was some sort of activity that we thought was going against the values and benefits of our club and organisation, we'd certainly bring it. And I know there was an occasion where we did actually approach one of the car show organisers because we were being overlooked for different things, and you could see that somewhere in their committee, the old school ways, they weren't as inclusive and weren't as open to seeing this new style club being formed, but it's changed.
One of the things that makes me curious is that have you had your beliefs and you're feeling sort of challenged, having maybe met people that you might not have, you know, in your work environment or your other social environment. So have you had your beliefs and had to be challenged at all? Have you questioned what you used to think versus what you feel now and so on?
Not so much challenged as I've had to form some beliefs. And I say that because although I had friends who were GLBTI, I was never part of... I was never... an ally of the GLBTI. I just happen to
have
friends.
Two different things, isn't it?
Exactly. So I never had to consider some of the challenges that go along with, or not even challenges, the things that go along with having a GLBTI group. I'm now involved. I'm a rowing umpire, so I'm involved with a slightly different aspect of rowing now, as well as being a coach. And you know, having to talk to my umpiring colleagues, I've never had to justify the Argonauts. I think that discussion for the Argonauts anyway has long gone. That went within the first few years of our actual existence. Luckily, at least, not that I ever see. It's really, as I say, we're a queer club in the rowing community and a rowing club in the queer community. That's the preamble to our mission statement, and it holds true.
And you feel, have you had anything that you've had to kind of question, Anthony? Or,
well, only on that one particular occasion, I can remember at the car show bringing it up with the committee of the car show. But we're also fortunate. I think we've got now a lot of the general public that even aren't members of any car organisation that come along to events that we're involved with, and they like to look at our cars and ask us questions, and the question of whether or not someone's gay or straight in the club is not discussed because they're talking about the car and and the motoring organisation itself and the activities that we do.
And I think it was a, I think it says something that now there's been an occasion where, so if you imagine the boat's coming up to the start line for a race and you have to get yourself lined up down the course. And we have actually had an umpire, the person who actually starts the race, standing behind us and very officially, you know, organising, and turn around and say, "Argonauts, you're not straight." And he did it on purpose. He's known the Argonauts. He's known and worked with the Argonauts for many years. So if you imagine we were actually there at the start, we just corpsed, which might have meant that's the excuse for losing that race. But the fact that those sorts of jokes can come out now.
Still.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Funny for you? Is it funny? Okay.
We corpsed, I have to say, at the start line when that happened.
Stops you in your tracks.
It almost stops it. But, it's still an anecdote that gets told often.
I think, Michelle, by the sounds of things, he may have thought it was funny and he was going to try and create a scene, but like, it's an old joke, it's tired, let's all move on. And I think fortunately most of the organisations we are all part of now have moved on.
I think we have, and it shocks us back into the reality of we haven't quite got there yet when you do hear these kinds of statements. And it's just, I know myself when I hear them, I feel like saying, really? Have we not moved past that? You know, but, you know, it's a reminder that we have to keep being vigilant and being allies in every way that we can, you know. So we're going to have another song and a break and come back and chat to the lovely Anthony and Ben. And you are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dean Arcuri, and when listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9, it's not about same-same, it's all about being different, with Michelle on the mic.
Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle and Anthony and Ben from the Argonauts and a Motor Friend. So we're having a bit of a chat about, allies and straight people involved in the organisations and whether it makes a difference. And I think, you know what, in the break I kind of thought that maybe I'm making a bigger deal out of it than I need to. Maybe I'm thinking there's some big drama or some big story out there all the time. Maybe there's been this hatred and now there's not and everyone's triumphing. And maybe really there is no issue. That's my sense.
Well, there's certainly still homophobic acts that occur to the groups and towards participants in our groups. And we're fortunate that we've got ways of working through it.
You're with all the sporting clubs in Melbourne. There's an an umbrella body, I suppose you call it. Yeah,
that's right. So there's Team Melbourne here in Melbourne. Funny, called Team Melbourne.
Funny.
It was. It actually started as QSAM, Queer Sports Alliance Melbourne, and then fortunately we were able to rebrand to become Team Melbourne, similar to the other states. So there is Team Adelaide, Team Sydney. But Team Melbourne name was taken and registered, but now we have the rights to use that name and it's all been registered properly and we've got that. But the Team Melbourne is all about promoting inclusion, diversity, and as an umbrella body for the GLBTI community. And we're there to act as the umbrella for communication between the international and national sporting groups, and also some of the codes and things like that, so that the same message is sent out to all the clubs.
Is there a almost like a pro forma for all clubs to follow? Is it a certain way that clubs have to act? I mean, have you had clubs that you know of that have had issues or not conducted themselves in the way that they should or anything like that?
There isn't. Obviously, being part of Team Melbourne, they do need to support our Team Melbourne's values and the constitution, because that's part of being part of an organisation, supporting their values and things. But fortunately, we've had no events within Team Melbourne organisations where we've had to pull up a club as such. But Team Melbourne's there to support clubs in working through those, obviously.
I'm wondering whether how the other rowing clubs and the other motoring clubs have viewed your respective clubs as well, whether they see it differently.
I think for the Argonauts, initially we were a curiosity, as in, again, the question of why does there need to be this club?
So how do you answer that then, if they ask you?
Well, because the Argonauts are there to support the GLBTI community in terms of making sure there is a safe environment for people to enjoy the in our case the sport of rowing, and it's important whether it's the chargers or the swimmers whose name has just escaped me.
The Glamourheads,
or the Chargers, which is the rugby group. They're all important because then truly a sport can say that it will be open to all.
And with Motor Friends, again, it started off with a couple of gay guys wanting to be having a safe environment to have their car club activities. But it's interesting now with the number of our straight members that are coming along to our club, because we are different and inclusive and have lots of fun, and they see that as a bonus.
Yeah, and as I said before, we've had people attracted to our club for exactly that reason. They've seen the openness, the inclusiveness, the safe environment that we try and create, the lack of judgment, all those good things which make our club in part unique.
And I would think that creates longevity as well.
But homophobia, of course, still does occur. I do know in the car club we had a member that she has got a very unique collection of cars and some very precious vehicles, and she did try to join another motoring organisation, met every bit of the criteria of the club, but when they worked out that she was who she was, they weren't interested.
Wow.
They rejected the application, which was really, really bad. So
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't even know how to respond to that kind of thing, but it surprised
so it
you, obviously.
Happen. And,
yeah.
And then on another hat that I wear with my skiing, I do know of occasions where our skiing, we're not actually a club as such. It's an event, the Whiteout event. And we hold that at Mount Buller every year, and it will be the 15th year this year. But we still have some challenges at some of the venues at the mountain or on the mountain.
As in you're not welcome?
They would not like the Whiteout group to host drinks functions or dinner functions, and that does occur still, unfortunately. It's not at a lot of places, but there are a couple of places, so that's fine. We just avoid going to those places.
How do you battle that then? Do you just move on?
We've tried battling it. Look, if you wanted to, I suppose if someone had the time, the energy, the funds to fight it through, because there's many years back some other bits and pieces that could prove and probably prosecute some people involved, look, we've moved on. We just go to places that do actually love having our group there and welcome us with open arms, and oh well, that's their problem for not.
It makes me and the Argonauts feel so lucky. I mean, I've said to you before, we row all over Victoria in regional and deep country Victoria, so yeah, Rutherglen and Imbula being two classic examples, and we're welcomed along with the rest of the rowing community.
In fact, Motor Friends has been up to Rutherglen on
two or three occasions.
We've been to support the Argonauts because it's great for us as a car club to drive up and enjoy the region, a few wines.
Yeah. As do the Argonauts, I have to say.
And watch
after
the rowing.
Yeah. So you do it during, you do it after.
A bit of both.
Just quickly on that, is there a different attitude between the you going out to the country meets and the community out in the country to your suburban and metro places? So is there more of a homophobic, you're nodding, more of a different type of attitude?
I forgot, it's radio.
It's radio, you need to speak.
But yes, I have, with the car club, we'll go to country pubs for lunch, and sometimes some of our members are more colourfully dressed than perhaps the locals in the area.
Yeah.
It might be in their RMs or Blundstone boots, and it's almost like the Priscilla moments of when the doors open and look what, I can't remember the line now, but look what's walked in.
Yeah. It's probably had profanity in it.
Certainly, yes.
We are nearly at the top of the hour. We've got to have a really, really quick break, guys, and then we'll come back, say thank yous and wrap up, and you can give you websites and everything else so people can get involved. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
You are with Michelle, Ben and Anthony. We have to say a very, very quick goodbye to Anthony from Motor Friends and Ben from the Melbourne Argonauts. Give us, for all those people that are going to jump on the web right now, where can they go to find out information? Join up.
Motorfriends.org.au.
Perfectly done.
And melbourneargonauts.com.au.
You're going to ask me a question?
I'm going to ask you a question of whether or not you'll come along to our next Learn to Write.
Okay.
My goodness me.
I don't know when it is, but I've got witnesses.
That's
so
right.
I have
we've
to
got three
yes.
coming up, one in August, one in October, one in December, so there is no excuse.
Okay, we'll put that on our Facebook, social media. Sammy in her... Narelle the Nissan will be driving me up there because I'll need a drive back because
I've
exhausted.
You've got Connie the convertible now.
Connie, ooh, let's
and
do that.
And you should come along to our big mystery tour in the midsummer, January, in Connie the convertible.
We will be doing that.
Money.
Me, Connie, and
How
Sammy.
How can I compete with that?
You can't. Yeah. You can't. We have to say goodbye, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank
I hope
you.
We've educated a few people, had a bit of a giggle, and I'm going to get fit whether I like it or not. So up next, we have got Joy from the Spirit Lounge. We'd like to thank my gorgeous Sammy across the desk, the lovely new Brian at front desk, who is my program support, and I'm going to leave you with your weekly challenge, which is what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement. You've been listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
As a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.